I mean, we had gone to Bora Bora the year before, and I thought that was the pinnacle of my life. And then we went to Maldives, and then I got engaged, and I got a cool photo, which I was like, thanks, babe. He's like, well, I had to make it Instagrammable. I'm like, yes.
I can't wait to see it. I'm dying to go look it up.
Yeah, I was like, thanks, love. You know me so well.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again. I'm Rachel Pitts, mom, realtor, and creator of The Closing Curve.
And I'm Gina Tremarco, founder and sales trainer at Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv. Hey, Rachel, what's up, girl?
Hello. I'm in recovery from the latest nervous breakdown. It's amazing what a shower can do for a girl, I tell you.
Oh, that gives me, I'm not even going to say it because you and I have talked about showers, about something you told me I should buy for the shower. Okay, we're not going to talk about that on this episode. We'll let people think about it, but that just, phew, reminded me. Speaking of cold showers, you and I have been working out a lot together, and I really appreciate that about you, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I do have like 20 plus years experience as a trainer, so I'm glad to unleash it upon you.
I know. I've really, you've unleashed it upon me before, but now it's different. We live closer to each other than we have in the past, and we're getting in a good rhythm with our days, and that's been really cool. So making the exercise part of the daily habit has been cool.
Yes, it's good for everybody.
And sometimes I run with you because I have to keep up with you. But I didn't run today. Instead I was that geek with all the papers on the treadmill.
And giving me therapy while I ran and cried. Running and crying.
You want to talk about talent? Yeah, I was like literally marking up my notes of all the things we're doing today and giving you therapy and walking in an incline and answering text messages.
Yeah, she was killing it.
killing it. Speaking of killing it, there's this guest that we just interviewed, and she's killing it. Her name's really Camelia Britton, the Hackerette. She is a blogger and travel hacker. You found her, fell in love with her. We can have girl crushes. And she is cool.
Yeah, she's totally a real deal person, and she's living the dream that so many of us have. Travel the world, post about it, and get paid to do it. I mean, come on. And you'll find out that it's not as simple and easy as it sounds and easy as it seems. She's based in San Diego, and when she's not traveling, Camelia, she started out as a nurse, and then she was a nurse who traveled and then traveled a lot. And in 2006, she discovered some travel hacks that she eventually began to share because people are like, how are you traveling so much?
2006, what was she, 12? I mean, she looks so young.
Right? Yeah.
Well, she's maybe living the life. That's why she looks so young.
She's living the dream, and that looks good on people, that's for sure. But it's really fascinating how consistent hard work and passion can truly get you where you want to go. And she's a living, breathing, traveling example of that.
Yeah, she is a Instagram expert, which I think we may need to retain her services with how brilliant she is. But my other takeaway from this episode is it comes down to hunger. If you know, you got to be hungry. And while she was an entrepreneur talking from an entrepreneur, you know, mindset, for those who are not entrepreneurs and you're in sales, are you hungry? Are you hungry enough that you need the sale so that you can put food on the table? And that's sort of where she was coming from. Like, she has a passion and consistency, but she was hungry.
Yep. And not afraid to put in the hard work it took to get her where she is. And she's on, you know, soar mode right now. She's not just flying, she's soaring. And it's pretty impressive. You guys will love this episode.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Before we get started, Rachel, just a reminder to our listeners. Hey, Warners, just to remind you, give us a rating and review if you haven't done so already. We would so appreciate that. Five stars is awesome. Go to iTunes. If you need information on how to do that, we can help you with that as well, because sometimes it can be confusing. You can access our iTunes page from our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. So check that out. We also, by the time you hear this episode, Warner World will be up and live, and you might want to be part of that. You probably want to be part of that. You can find out more about that on our website or on our Facebook page.
Let's get started with this awesome episode with Camelia Britton. Well, I mean, would you call yourself a travel blogger? You're so much more than that, but that's basically your title, right? And how did you come to be such?
I would say it's kind of funny because I'm a million things, as you said. So I'm kind of like the Jill of all trades, right? And so, yeah, I'm a travel blogger. Instagram, you know, whatever, influencer, if you want to call it that. I don't know another word to better. I like to call it like more content creator, you know, because it is more creation. You know, and so I do a lot of photography, content creation for brands and things like that. I do blog. I do also Instagram coaching and consulting, you know, for small businesses and personal brands on how to, you know, how to navigate Instagram, because a lot of people don't understand it. And I obviously, you know, live and breathe it. So I can obviously help. And then, and I do some speaking and some outside projects as well with marketing, like with GoDaddy and things like that. So I really do a little bit of everything. I kind of like, if people reach out with something that sounds cool, I'm like, I can do that. That sounds fun. So I'm just really open, and it's flowed really well for me. So I'm really grateful.
And so how did you get to this point? Because I know your background was in nursing, right? So how did you transition from there to what you are now, who you are now?
Oh gosh, it was definitely one of those overnight success, 30 years in the making stories. I was a nurse, gosh, I was a travel nurse. I moved to California in 2005, never traveled as a kid, came from an extremely humble background, actually. Didn't, you know, have any money for anything fun whatsoever, much less travel, you know. And so put myself through nursing school, came out to California from Texas as a travel nurse in 2005, and started traveling on my own. I finally had a little bit of money, you know, to travel. I saved up for a good year and took my first big Europe trip in 2006. And then, you know, it was the first time. So I made every mistake in the book, spent way too much money, you know, but learned a lot, and also learned that I actually like to travel and never traveled before. So it was like, oh, I actually like this. This is pretty cool. I want to do more of this. And so, you know, being in my 20s at the time and young and dumb, I was like Googling, you know, how to travel for free or cheap and things like that. And Google was like travel hacking. And I'm like, okay, what's this? So I kind of went down the rabbit hole of Google, learned about travel hacking, discovered something called error fares, which are like the glitches in the system where you find these crazy deals for pennies on the dollar, you can travel. And so here I am, a nurse, single girl, you know, with a decent job, but I'm by no means rich, right? And I'm traveling around the world, like to a new country every month. And my friends are kind of like, okay, what are you doing? What's the deal? You know, like, you are not independently wealthy. We know you, you're a nurse. And you know, you're a new country once a month. Like, how are you doing this? And so I was telling people how I was doing it. And after explaining myself for the millionth time, I was like, I'm just going to start a blog and build a course, and then I can just send people there. And so that's kind of how it started. And that was back in 2016. And so through that, you know, in those times, we're obviously in 2019 now, and things have changed tremendously since 2016. So in 2016, there was really, like, there was not really influencers besides, like, the Kim Kardashians and things like that. I never set out to be a travel influencer. I never set out to make Instagram my job. I didn't even think that was even feasible for, like, someone like me. Like, no one thinks that that can happen to them. You know what I mean? That's sort of like other people, right? And so it kind of just happened, you know, organically. I started getting reached out to from brands, and I was like, yeah, sure, like, again, open to new opportunities. I kind of said, sure, I'll try it. And then I started doing it. And you know, my first one I told you was, you know, one of those food service companies. They're like, hey, we'll send you a free week of food and $50 to post this on your feed. I think I'd like, you know, 10 or 20,000 followers or something at the time. And I'm like, yeah, sweet, girls got to eat. Like, yes, send me the food. So I was like, popping it up and like took the photos and everything and posted it. And you know, and then I realized it's harder than it looks to do, you know, but it was something I enjoyed, and I always was into photography. And so, especially with travel. And so, yeah, I kind of started getting reached out to more and more. And then over the years, that became my main income stream. So it's kind of a progression.
So people started, brands started paying attention to you, mm-hmm. and just reached out.
Yes. Yes.
That's amazing.
But yeah, you mentioned you had about 10 or 20,000 followers at that point. So they knew that at least you had a reach.
Right.
And we're talking strictly 10, 20 on Instagram, or was that also on other platforms?
That was just on Instagram. Yeah. So I grew pretty quickly. And this was, again, in 2016, when I think it was a lot easier to grow as well. In my first 6 months, and I work three times as hard to get there three times as fast. That's just how I roll. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I was super, super committed. And in 6 months, I had 10K. And in 1 year, I had 20K. And then it just went, you know, exponentially from there. It wasn't easy. It was obsession.
I was just going to say, what was the secret sauce behind getting that kind of growth?
Hard work and hard work and engaging and just like getting in the trenches and elbow grease. I mean, honestly, there was no magical secret. At the time, I did do some follow and follow. That used to work back then. It doesn't now.
What does that mean?
Like, you would follow accounts, and you know what I mean? If they didn't follow you back, you would unfollow, but you know, someone would follow back and stuff like that. So, but you know, just hashtags used to work a lot better because there wasn't such oversaturation. They actually used to work, and you would just get, you know, natural stuff. It's changed a lot now, but at that time, you could truly post a hashtag and be found, you know, a lot easier than today. So yeah. And I was, you know, using hashtags properly, and I was getting seen, and I was networking constantly, and I was, you know, connecting with other bloggers and influencers and people in the travel space, and just making relationships and reaching out and DMing them and saying, hey, love your feed, and like, let's connect. I'm in this space also. I'm new, and how can I help, and how can we support each other? And, you know, there was no magical secret. It was just lots and lots and lots of hard work.
Okay, I think that's really key for our listeners to hear, because everybody knows one of my platforms is Don't Be a Troll on social media. And it happens to us on Instagram too, where we get hit up with these messages of, you know, just like trying to slam something down us. But you had the approach of, hey, how can we help each other? How can we work together? Love your feed, which is a really great way to create a relationship from a social media perspective.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the blogger world, I don't know about, you know, other spaces, but I know the blogger world and the Instagram world is very collaborative, and everybody is very much about supporting each other, because we're all there to create a business. We're all there to be seen. We're all there to, you know, and so they really do band together, and it's very supportive on the most part. And, you know, then you naturally follow each other, and then you're commenting back and things like that. And then you're creating these relationships, and then, you know, those people actually become your friends, and then you eventually go on a press trip together. And, you know, just it's definitely a marathon and not a race or a sprint by any means. And I've seen so many people fall off. And I think part of being successful is actually just sticking with it and staying on as the others continue to fall off, and just outlasting the rest. I think there's a lot to that as well.
Nice. And so what do you think was the point where you knew you had arrived? Like, you knew, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, wow. Like, what was that wow moment for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was last year. It's been such a slow, steady progression, and there was never this, like, you know, thing. There's two things, I guess. So one big thing that did happen, but I was already very established as well. So my first ever press trip was to the Maldives, which was amazing in its own right. Right. Everyone dreams of going to the Maldives, and somehow, I made the relationship with them, and I got invited because of hard work. But, you know, amazing still that I got my first press trip ever to the Maldives. And so I was there, and I was like in work mode and, you know, working and like, okay, we have to do this and shoot this and all this. And my now fiance proposed to me and was a surprise. And so, and he ended up getting a really amazing drone photo, and that photo just went viral. Like, our engagement photo went completely viral. It's definitely a fantasy photo. I'll have to show it to you. I'll have to link it or whatever. But yeah, I went back. It was beautiful. And Couple Goals shared it. The Knot shared it. They ended up writing, you know, an article and things like that about it, about our proposal. And so it went a bit viral. It's still being shared to this day. It's still going to, that was a year ago in May. So it was like May 5th or whatever. But it's been a year and it's still kind of going around. And so that was a huge thing. And that definitely helped a lot. And I feel like it gave me a ton of visibility. You know, and we were laughing. We're like, I guess I have to get engaged to get engagement. Is that? I can't do that every time, you know, but. So, but that was one thing that happened. And then along the way, the next thing was I was flowing and going and continually growing and doing well, but I was still working as a nurse because, number one, I had an amazing job as a nurse and I was extremely successful. And I was not just a regular nurse at like a hospital. I was actually had worked myself into like a private concierge type of nursing, which was also a dream. I'm traveling with people on their private jets to, you know, distant lands. And so that's not even a really bad nursing job, right? So like, why would I quit that? And, but you know, and I was happy, but I wasn't like fulfilling that like craving of like, I'm an entrepreneur, you know, like all this. And I just was like, and so, and leading on to that, this is like the third business I built. I also built a home care company. I also built a wellness company. This, and I, you know, release them with love because I realized I didn't actually enjoy it. It was successful in making money, but I realized I didn't enjoy the day-to-day execution. So released it with love and said, the answer is not right now for that. But yeah, then like I, with nursing, you know, like I eventually was getting to a point where I was like working all day as a nurse and I was working all night on my other stuff, you know, my Hackerette stuff. And it was getting to be to the point where I had to release something. And I was so scared that I was going to like, leave my, you know, amazing nursing job for like Instagram. Like that doesn't make any sense to my logical left brain. Right. And so, but I did, I had money saved and I was like, okay, it's time to jump. And some things had happened personally where it was like a good time as well, you know, to jump. And so whenever I did jump, I literally felt like I was falling out of the sky with no net and there was, you're not sure where the bottom was, you know? And so it was terrifying, but it also lit the fire under me to raise my rates, know my worth, ask for more money, and just have a lot more confidence because it was like by necessity. And like I said, in the first month of that, I ended up making more money than I ever did as a nurse because I think I was so terrified of not succeeding. And so for about 3 months, I kind of was overzealous and I think I overcompensated and ended up making more. And then after about 3 months of me making more than I was as a nurse, then I was kind of like, okay, I feel a little bit safe with this now. So, but that was a big, huge turning point of like, I had to look around and be like, I'm actually doing this full time and I'm making more money. Okay, I can do this. You know, it's kind of like when you own your own business, there's always this fear of like, where's my next, you know, paycheck?
Yes. Yes, there is. There's always that fear. Where's the next paycheck?
Yes, exactly.
So how did you come about in getting to that point of raising your rates and asking for your value? I think this is a really good sales tip, selling tip for our listeners, because a lot of times we're not comfortable, whether we're entrepreneurs or we're working for an organization where we're selling, putting that dollar out there and asking for the money can be uncomfortable. So what was something that drove you to get good at that?
Well, number one was that nothing will light you and drive you like no money coming in, right? So you quit your job, there's literally no money coming in. And so you really have to dig deep. And if like they're not giving it, you have nothing coming. So you really have to, you know, ask for it. But also, you know, knowing your worth and the fact that if I would get reached out to by a brand, a lot of times they would offer me like a freebie, you know, and it's like, you know, as much as I would love to, you know, post your item or your whatever, unfortunately, I'm extremely busy with paid collaborations. And so I can only accept paid collaborations as this time, you know, is there any type of ideal budget? I'd be happy to try to work with you on that, but I'm not able to accept any unpaid collaborations at this time. I'm just too busy, which I was, you know, so it was just true.
What a great learning lesson, because I think it could become intoxicating. And I think this is sometimes where women fall into a trap of not putting themselves out there and asking for more because like, well, I'm intoxicated by all these free products you're sending. That should be enough. And you're like, no, I need cash.
Exactly. And at the same time, eventually you get sick of working for free. And so I was doing a couple for free in the beginning if they were like big ticket items or like trips or things like that. And, you know, but at the same time, you can't pay your bills on free trips. You cannot, you know, and so you have to realize like, okay, you know, they obviously reached out to me, so they want something that I have. What is it worth to you? Is it worth $100, $1,000? Like, you know, and so ask them what their budget is and then see what you can provide for that type of budget. Like, is your budget $100? Okay, I might give you a shout out in my stories, like on one frame. You know what I mean? Is your budget $1,000? Okay, now we can talk maybe content creation. So, you know, it's like, what's your budget? And you can work around that. And if they, you know, you'll be surprised how budgets grow, yeah. You know, as soon as start talking yeah. And so whatever. And then so I'm like, you know, I'm happy to provide a customized strategy based on your wants and needs. Like everyone actually wants and needs something different. Is your priority content creation? Is your priority brand awareness and exposure like on my feed? You know, what is it? Are you looking for sales? Maybe we do a swipe up, you know, so basically creating a, custom solution for their actual problem. And then saying, here it is and what I can buy it for, I can do it for this amount or whatever, working together.
Rachel, okay. It sounds like we need her help for Instagram.
Well, yes. And the first key is to get to that 10,000 followers. But I think just swinging back to your point, Camelia, about I think people use these little gimmicks and follow and follow tricks, and I've done it too. And it's there's no solution to relationships. And this topic keeps coming up in all of our podcasts that, you know, nurturing relationships, even online, like you said, you just have to reach out and then you find humans on the other side of the internet, which is great.
What?
I think also I do quite a bit of, you know, Instagram coaching and consulting and strategies and things like that. And a lot of people, the first thing they'd say to me is they want 10,000 followers. They want X amount of followers or whatever. And my first question to them is, why? Why do you want 10,000 followers?
Yeah.
Is it for me? What are you going to do with those 10,000 followers? What are you going to do with it? And then they realize like, and then half the time, most business models do not need followers unless you're going to be an Instagram influencer and work with brands. 9 times out of 10, you don't need X amount of followers. You need to, you know, cater to the 1,000 followers that you have or whatever that is, send them through your funnel, give them your freebie, build that relationship. It just depends on your model. Is your model, are you selling homes? You don't need 10,000 followers. You need to get on those 1,000 or whatever. Are you selling courses? Are you whatever? I mean, just flowing them through your funnel. I mean, use the leads you already have and like exhaust them, you know, not in that kind of way, but like really go after those people. And like you, that's less people you have to send DMs to. It's only 1,000 people.
That's great. Yeah. That's such a good point. Cause it's true. Everybody assumes, oh, I just need to have 10,000 followers and then I can have that swipe up feature and blah, blah, blah. But great point.
What would your advice be to a listener that maybe they're not an entrepreneur, they're a salesperson in a sales job? Is there some advice that you can give from a personal branding standpoint using Instagram that can help them close more deals?
Absolutely. It would depend like what type of sales are we talking? Are we selling, you know, real estate? Are we selling courses? What are we selling? And that would depend.
Right. Yeah. And it'll be all across the board. You know, it could be anything. So just from a personal branding standpoint, are there some hacks to, you know, because people buy you. So what are some things to make them more attractive on Instagram?
I think always providing value and tips and talking to them like you're their best friend. Like that's what I do every single day. Like even on my bio, it says sharing tips on all the things. We were like, okay, I want tips. Like they'll follow, you know, like what's in it for them. So every time you post a caption, a photo, anything, you know, think what's in it for them. So because that's all anyone is thinking. They're going to take 20 seconds to decide whether to follow you or not. And they're going to be like, what's in this for me? So you need to have that succinctly determined in your bio already for them and very snackable, bite-sized, you know, succinct times, you know, in a call to action at the bottom. And how are you helping? And just constantly showing up and giving tips on whatever. If you're in sales and you're selling houses, for instance, or something, you know, you're not just going to show the house and this is the price or whatever. You're going to be like, this house has an amazing, something unique. Like find something interesting to talk about that's different than no one's seen. You know what I mean? Like, or tips on buying home or first time buyer or something like that. Like, I don't know that niche or whatever, yeah. Right? But like, whatever you're selling or whatever, like for me, for instance, I can speak best on mine because I'm in this niche, but like with travel, I'm like, hey, go here or do this, or this place is only $5 to get into this botanical garden. How cool is that? You know, or like, go with this, or here's, you know, a 48-hour Vegas itinerary for something different you haven't done, or it's a new speakeasy open or whatever. Sharing what you have found, like you're their big sister or their BFF, or talking to these people like they're your best friend and you're letting them in on all your secrets, and showing up consistently, you know, daily, or however what you can do for your content schedule. And just constantly being there, being of value, engaging back. If someone bothers to comment, comment back. Go to their page, comment on there, leave a thoughtful comment. It takes work, but it works. So.
That's awesome. Great advice. Thank you.
So tell us, for fun's sake, what's your favorite destination that you've been to so far?
Oh, I know. I get asked this all the time. And it's like so hard. They're like my children, and I'm like, I love them all. It's like, all just like amazing, because I'm just an explorer at heart. And so it's like every time I land in a new city or country, it's like a puzzle I've never done before. And I'm just like, ah, I can't wait to like get in there and explore it and figure it out, you know? And then, but I would happily say after the Maldives, I never had an answer for this question until the Maldives. And then after we went to the Maldives, it was just, I mean, we had gone to Bora Bora the year before, and I thought that was the pinnacle of my life. And then we went to Maldives, and then I got engaged, and I got a cool photo, which I was like, thanks, babe. He's like, well, I had to make it Instagrammable. I'm like, yes.
I can't wait to see it. I'm dying to go look it up.
I was like, thanks, love. You know me so well. And so, but after that, it was like, I think that will, for now, it's like my favorite for a million reasons. So, yeah.
Awesome. It's on my list for sure. And I'm super excited to follow you and find out about all the travel hacks. I already found some. Once I sign up for the newsletter, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask about was, no, I forgot it. I was thinking about it. You told
me another thing I wanted to ask about while you think about it is what happens if Instagram like closes up and dies? Yes. What's next for
Wonderful
you?
Wonderful question. Yeah. And everybody asks me that all the time. And I am very aware of that, because I'm not, I didn't get this far by being a stupid girl, right? So, I definitely have lots of info for that, because I have thought about it every day, because the majority of my income comes either through Instagram or it's about Instagram or things like that. Couple different things. Number one, I think, Instagram itself is so big, and it's like a host and a parasite, sadly to say, like, and that whatever, but honestly, the energy is so big. If it was to shut down tomorrow, I think everyone, number one, would be looking for somewhere to go. Like, it's almost like it has, all this energy is too big now. It has to have somewhere to go. It can't just die. It's way too big to just die completely. So there will either be another place for them to go or something. I feel like they're going to want to go somewhere. Everyone's way too addicted to this kind of thing. So that's number one. Number two, I think also Instagram is at a point now where there's a billion users monthly and growing every day, that if they did shut down, I think there would literally probably be a global financial crisis, because the amount of money being made, spent, entire agencies, they are being created just for influencers and things like that. I don't think that people realize like that we would probably have another like global financial crisis. Wow.
It's a good point. And Instagram's owned by Facebook too, right?
Yeah.
So they would both have to crash, and it really would be, it would be crazy to see. That'd be worthy of a movie of like what would happen.
Crash for 8 hours one day, and the whole world was in like,
oh, I remember.
Freaking out. Yep.
Yeah.
It was 8 hours. Look at what happened.
Everybody's
That was pretty epic, actually.
Yeah.
Now since it shut down forever, don't you think we would have a crisis?
Either that or human connections would be better.
Yeah.
One or the other.
If you could afford to get out of your house.
Right. Totally. I remember what I wanted to ask, and that was something you mentioned, and I don't know how much you want to share about this, because I know this is a big thing coming up with your collaboration with GoDaddy. But when we talked before, you mentioned one of the scary things about leaving your cushy former job was like, what am I going to do? But then when opportunity arrived, you were available. And yes, I thought that was just really, really cool.
And I'm really big into, being really self-aware and you know, kind of manifesting and just really putting your thoughts and energy out there. And really, you know, a big thing for me, the hardest part of that though, is trust, because I can put it out there all day and put it on the vision board and go, yeah, it's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm not all fully trusting. And I think that, when I jumped out of my nursing job, I had just spent 6 days at a meditation retreat. And what kept coming up for me was that I needed to like jump. And so my big thing that kept coming up for me was that I wasn't trusting in myself, and I had to know I was like fully capable and that I could do this. And then I thought, I can always go back. I can always go and do something else. And so I had, like I said, I had money saved. And so I made the choice. And then I do feel when you release something out of your life, like you allow room for more to come in, because life is a flow and an energy. And just like the apple tree, that rotten apples has to fall for new to come. And it's a flow and it has to flow. And if you're hoarding everything and holding on to everything, nothing new can come because you don't even have room for it. Right. And so I had room and I had space and I was ready and open and hoping something would come, and, but not needing, but also actively going out and looking. I wasn't waiting for it to come to me. And then I did get an email from GoDaddy, and it was like, hey, we have this tremendous project, and it was a huge paycheck, and it was a lot of work, but it was like they were very much compensating for that. And because I was completely available, it started in like a week. They gave me like 1 week notice. It was such a tight, you know, wow, schedule. But because I was now, you know, not in that job, I was able to do it and I was able to take it on. And now we are continuing this relationship. I'm now flying to New York this weekend for them to be a partner at the Create and Cultivate conference, on behalf of GoDaddy as an ambassador for their Icons of Our Tribe photojournalism project that I was one of the hosts for. So they loved my work so much, which I was so grateful. Out of all the hosts, they've done this in 22 cities around the world. And out of all the hosts, they invited me to come and be the face. And so that's amazing. So, you know, I was able to jump, and I also took that opportunity and ran with it and went above and beyond even what they asked of me. And that's all about creating relationships in sales or in business or as a personal brand as well. If you're going to do something, do it 1,000,000% and overgive. And, you know, especially if someone's, you know, paying you very well, like overgive, you know, and they're going to love you and come back to you. And they are, they're continuing. They love working with me. I love working with them. It's been an amazing relationship to cultivate, and I can foresee it ongoing. And so it's a blessing.
That's such a great point. And I always have operated this way in everything that I do, is to overgive. And it really irks me when I'm in situations or have been in situations of jobs where people are like, well, I'm not paid for that. Well, they're not paying me to do that. But it limits you to growth when you just think of how much can I give? How much can I do within, you know, what they're asking, so that it ends up, like you said, they're like, this girl is amazing.
Right, right.
Let's keep going.
Like, I was the first one they thought of. Like, I don't even think they reached out to anyone else. They were like, you know what? And when they handed me this project, I was the project manager for this huge thing. I interviewed 25 entrepreneurs all over in San Diego, had 1 week to schedule them and book them. I had 2 weeks to do 22 interviews, 2 weeks, like to do 22 1-hour interviews. Do you know how much like running around and like filming and, you know, all that stuff. And I did it. I pulled a rabbit out of the hat and I was like, I can do this. And I did it even before the deadline was due. And I did it even better. And they were only making me do like one story per interview. And I was like, that's not enough for my, like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. You know? And so I also kind of went above and beyond because it was like what was needed to tell the real story and to be fully, you know, for, in my opinion. And so, but they honestly were like, no one's done that. You know, and I was like, well, why not? Like, to me, it was like, you know, but they didn't tell me how they wanted it. They just handed me a lot of autonomy and said, roll with it and let's see what you do. And, you know, apparently I, you know, took more initiative than others, I guess. And so now that got me this, you know, other job. Now I'm going to New York. So I think when you're in a job, it's very easy. You're getting X paid an hour. Like, and it's very easy to say, well, they're not paying me for that or whatever. But when it's your own business, those relationships carry so much more value than X dollar per hour. Right. And so you just never know, you know, what's going to happen. Like with the Maldives, I met them at a conference and I introduced myself and I was really trying to like make connections, and they were like really not that interested in me. And I was like, well, I'm probably not good enough, and had all the self doubt. I gave them my card anyways and I followed up, and, you know, that was like in October and I didn't hear anything from them for months. And I see them doing all these press trips and I'm like, okay, well, they didn't like me. No worries. I'm not big enough yet or whatever. And then, yeah, in April, they emailed me and said, hey, we're having a, you know, press trip and we want you to come. And I was like, on my way, you know, like, so it's just, sometimes relationships, you know, don't come till maybe almost a year later, but I mean, you're not losing anything by being nice and kind and offering value and asking how you can help. So.
Okay. I hope everybody took note to that exact comment. It doesn't hurt to be nice and kind and take your time to build a relationship. This is for all those trolls out there.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Trolls. Trolls. But yeah.
Well, and it's the approach is so much what the trolls seem to do is they see, like, let's pretend I'm a troll coming after you, Camelia, and it's like, oh my gosh, she has all these followers. Let's see what she can do for me. Like, and that's such the wrong way that that's what people are doing instead of going, oh my gosh, you're so cool. You're like, I love, like I said, I was so excited because you have such a great story, but also legit, I love to travel and I've already been like digging into your stuff of like, okay, I probably have been doing this all wrong, obviously, if there's cheaper ways to do these things and go more places. So it's just that whole like for real reaching out to who you really want to learn from. And, you know, if people want to become what you are, they need to just study what you're doing and sign up for your courses, obviously.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, I offer coaching and consulting of all kinds. And, you know, so it's like, I'm happy to help. I can't help everyone for free or I'd never leave my house. But, you know, I'm happy to, like, you know, provide tons of value, you know, and just, and I, yeah, I do have my coaching clients are super grateful. They're like, oh my God, I've spent X amount with this and this and this, and in 1 hour you gave me more value than I did from the past 5 consults I've done with other people. So that's always, you know, amazing. And I have testimonials on my website, of course, and things like that. And those are just the people who left the testimonials. There's plenty that they just, you know, I'm like, hey, I'll give you a discount on your next one. They just don't make the time to do the testimonials.
Those are hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
It really is. So do you think, what do you think was most instrumental in building your personal brand? I know you were, do you think that it's because your photos are so amazing? Do you think it's just your consistency? Is the content tied to the photos? What do you think has been the most instrumental in building all of that for you?
Gosh, it's changed so much over the past, you know, like 3 years of the path. I mean, my photos were not that great in the beginning. I mean, they were okay, but like now they're 10 times better because I constantly was practicing my craft and improving myself, in my area, you know, but that took work and stuff. So it was like a progression for sure. If you go back to my old stuff, you're going to be like, ooh, you know, and I even have that on my story highlights. There's a thing that says Insta coaching. And if you go in there, I did an event and I like showed, I screenshotted my old feed and I'm like, look at this feed. And I was just pointing and laughing like, look at this feed. This proves that everyone starts at zero and not knows what they're doing. And yeah, just like, I think really just being a person, you know, a lot of these, especially travel influencers are very unrelatable and they're, you know, posting these things and yes, you have to post your aspirational, beautiful content because that's what the brands want and things like that. But you can also post every now and then, you know, just a regular photo and which I do. If you really go through my feed, you'll see there's a picture of me and my dog on the beach and it's from an iPhone 4 or something, you know what I mean? And there's no edit, like it's just basic as basic can come. And, you know, and then I have my drone photo that looks like it's on the cover of, you know, Travel and Leisure as well. So, but like also, you know, doing some behind the scenes and mixing things in and I make no bones about that this is hard work. I don't act like I just float around in pools all day. And like, I tell people that in my captions and in my stories, if they follow me and, you know, we have, Jacob has 2 kids, my fiance, and 1 is special needs. And I'm like, hey, we're at doctor's appointments today. You know, I'm not floating around in the Maldives. Like I'm actually, I have a real life and I have real problems. And, you know, not that I'm like, oh, poor me whatsoever, but it's just kind of like, you know, cooking dinner tonight. Like I have a regular life as well. Yeah. I'm not just constantly, you know, posing on mountaintops. And
you're being relatable, but living the dream.
Right, right. And also, you know, just saying like, hey, you know what? If someone else is doing it, that means that you can too.
Yeah.
Like I started at zero and you guys have watched me go from zero to, you know, this. So, and just
that's
kind of,
awesome.
You know,
So did you just study photography or did you just sort of like figure out and get better at it? Like you said.
Yeah. No, I just, yeah, just myself just figuring it out. And, you know, I think I always had like the passion and the eye, and that goes a long way because, you know, if you're excited, if it excites you, you're going to want to get more into it or learn it or figure it out. And I think I've gotten better and better, and I've upgraded different equipment. And I started out with my phone, you know, and I wasn't even editing. I think I was using like Instagram filters, which are horrible. But now, you know, now I have Lightroom presets, which I'm probably even going to sell my own presets here in the next week or two. I'm probably going to launch that because people like them. But, you know, I didn't start out with that. I've just learned as I go, just like everybody, you know, and I didn't really take any courses. I mean, maybe like YouTube and stuff like that. But I mean, you figure it out, and you really have to kind of find your own style in your own way. And it's like, you have to work at this every single day consistently. And like, I always just say like consistent and perfect action on the daily is never going to be perfect. And that's so hard for me because I'm such a perfectionist, especially being an ICU nurse for so many years. I'm like, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and everything has to be just so, you know. And so I'm a very much a perfectionist, and so I'm my own worst critic, and that's really hard because a lot of times I won't, you know, finish something because it's not perfect yet, and I got to get over that. And that's a struggle that I am constantly battling. But yeah, I'm getting a little better at it. But yeah.
So it sounds like that some of the keys to success are for our Warners who are listening is the consistency piece, the passion. And what I had heard earlier was hunger, right? Like, especially as an entrepreneur, you have to be hungry to go after business. So even if you're not an entrepreneur, you might be on some kind of commission structure or a performance plan that if you want to keep your job, that should make you hungry. So it sounds like the hunger piece of it was also a driver for you.
For sure. And the passion drives the hunger as well. So whether you're passionate about, you know, if you're not passionate about your job, you might struggle. You might get another sales job or something like that. If it's your own business, of course, you're passionate. And, you know, that drives that hunger. And then you have to be like, not in pain, but you have to be like, I am over this. I want to do this other thing. You know, like I was just over my nursing job and it wasn't a bad job. I was just over it. Like I just wasn't fulfilled. And that feeling was driving me, just I was not happy, and I just was like, I should be happy. I wish I could just be happy with this, and I just wasn't. And it was like that driving force just was always fueling me to work three times as hard, and it was exhausting, and I was like doubting myself all the time, but I just continued on. And I mean, I just kind of was like, you know, two steps forward, one step back all the time. But it just, I couldn't be happy just with what I had, and I just couldn't give up because I felt like eventually it just had to, something had to give, and it did eventually. So, but yeah, it wasn't easy.
Right. And one more reminder to everybody that it's not as easy as it looks. I know you've said that more than one time of
yeah.
Like, so, you know, you post this, even just getting the right photo and then the right content that's tied to it to make it fascinating. And you really, really do, Camelia, like scrolling through your feed and looking on your blog. It does. I'm like, oh my God, she's my best friend. Secretly, I'm like, she's my best friend already. And I don't even, you know, I've only known you for a minute, but you do have that knack of being, making me feel like I'm already your best friend. And, you know, it's... And that I can't imagine. Obviously, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. So
it's that it factor that I often talk mm-hmm. about in some of our sales training, how important it is to have that it factor. And that it factor is like someone who is interesting, but also interested in you and makes you feel like they're interested in you. And I got to tell you, Camelia, that when Rachel first talked to you, she was like so excited. And I was out of town on business. She's like, I have to talk to you. I have to tell you about this person. And she was just like almost head over heels. And that's special. That is, you know, you have something when you can impact someone like that.
I think people feel my passion, you know, I think people feel passion I have for it. And I talk to my audience like they're my best friends, because you know, honestly, they've been with me and they're my community, and I'm always like thankful for you guys, and I'll say it in my things and everything. And a lot of times I write like I talk, and sometimes I have trouble writing. So I'll literally voice, I'll just be like, hey y'all, blah, 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 and just talk it into my phone and then correct it or whatever. And that's like a little hack that I do. And we just talk to people like you would your best friend, like, hey, I found this thing and it's so cool. Oh my God, I have to tell you all about it. Like, you know, if you're kind of just talking like that, that's relatable. That's what people you know, want. And so they connect, and then, like I said, engaging back and all that. So.
That's great. And since I've met you, I've been talking to other people about it, and there's so many people that I know would love to live the kind of dream that you've created for yourself. And voila, they can do it if they want to learn from you. So tell us where we can find you. Where are you on social media, your website and everything, so our listeners can find you?
Yeah, awesome. I am The Hackerette on Instagram, of course, and same on Twitter. And yep, my blog is hackerette.com. And on my blog, you will find a tab that says Instagram coaching. So if anybody is interested in learning how to build a personal brand or just help with Instagram as a brand or different things, it's really customizable to you. And so I help with branding as well as strategy or like whatever. It's really a custom because it's one-on-one. So it's really custom. So if it doesn't look like something like the complete write up on the thing, just know there's more that I can do, as you can hear from this podcast. There's a lot I can help with, but I can only fit so much on the page. So, you know.
Awesome. But, awesome. It's been so great having you on the show, Camelia.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Yeah. And I encourage everybody immediately go and follow her on Instagram, because it is like, I mean, not only is Camelia beautiful, but all of the photos and images that she shares are just so beautiful. And who doesn't want to travel on the cheap with Travel Hacks? I mean, heck yeah.
Thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me directly, Gina Tremarco, to learn more about Pivot 10 results, you can visit GinaTremarco.com. And Rachel?
And to find me, Rachel Pitts, you can visit me anywhere on social media as Rachel on Real Estate, or visit theclosingcurve.com. And to find all of our social media links and free downloads on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
And hey, we love to hear from you. We especially love to hear from you in the form of a 5-star review. Rating and review. That helps us get found until we can get found more on Instagram. So if you can do that, that would be super cool. And don't forget, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
Bye. Thanks, Camelia.
Thank you.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.